Turning our attention to how this impacts Canada and how Queen Elizabeth impacted Canada, if she did, it's really quite remarkable when you think about it. And the Prime Minister said it yesterday, just how ever-present she has been in the life of Canadians.
It is with the deepest of sorrow that we learn today of the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. She was our queen for almost half of Canada's existence, and she had an obvious, deep, and abiding love and affection for Canadians.
That struck me. She was our head of state for roughly half of this country's existence. 70 years she was on the throne. It's quite remarkable. How much of a role did she play? We're going to chat with Dr. Graham Broad, an associate professor and chair in the Department of History at King's University College. Dr. Broad, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, when the Prime Minister mentioned it yesterday, I was like, wow, yeah, that's true. She was head of state for almost half of this country's existence. She's been part of this history, well, for longer than anyone else, really.
Yeah, and moreover, it's important to remember that for most Canadians, or for most people in the Commonwealth generally, she's the only monarch they can ever remember. You'd have to be in your 80s to remember her predecessors. So, you know, it's been a remarkable reign, not just for its longevity, but for the extraordinary period over which she reigned.
And in terms of her involvement and, you know, number of visits, she was here many times. She called Canada her second home, but you know, politically speaking and her involvement with, you know, this country, it was more ceremonial and symbolic. She sort of struck to those lines by and large, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think she had 22 visits as queen and one previous as princess, and that's more than anywhere else that she paid official visits to. She seemed to actually quite like it here, and on the whole, when she was here, she was very well received. I think in the 60s there was some protests in Quebec or something, but more aimed at the monarchy than at her. You know, even some people who maybe take a dim view of the monarchy, there seems to be respect for Elizabeth as an individual of great dignity. But no, you're right. Her power is entirely symbolic. But therein lies the importance, right? That the idea is you have a head of state who's above politics. And the hope is to kind of avoid the sort of calamity, that the slow motion calamity we're seeing unfold in some other democracies.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Now, during her reign, over the course of the 7 years, her role, or at least our relationship with the monarchy, changed primarily in 1982 with the Constitution, which really sort of separated us legitimately from any sort of legislative acts that the British Parliament may carry out would no longer apply in Canada. She didn't buck against that. She welcomed it publicly.
Yeah, I mean, that what happened in 82 was they patriated the Constitution, so we didn't have to ask the British to amend it every time we needed to amend it. And she discharged her duties as Queen of Canada, right? And that's, you know, another case of where she was able to sort of rise perhaps above her personal sentiment or above local politics, and instead just discharged her constitutional duty. And so, you know, the ironic thing is that in theory, even if let's say the British Parliament passed an act saying we're going to abolish the monarchy, the monarch would have to give assent to it. And Charles, in his speech, it was interesting, he indicated that he's probably going to be a rather traditional king in that sense, too. You know, he even talked about giving up some of his political activism and charities in that speech in order to maintain this position of neutrality that kings and queens are supposed to have.
We heard some people talking about Brian Mulroney in the comments he made yesterday, and sort of how he said primarily she was sort of the glue that held the Commonwealth together during the arguments and discussions around apartheid, and she exerted some soft power around that. Did she ever exert any kind of influence or power on any Canadian issues? Did she ever get actively involved that we know of?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, because she doesn't live here, her executive powers on a day-to-day basis is executed by the governor generals. So I don't think she ever had that kind of soft power issue in Canada. But, you know, still for many Canadians remained a focus of loyalty. But of course, you know, especially as time goes on and the country changes demographically and so forth, The monarchy going forward, Charles will have to have a lot to answer for about the monarchy's colonial past, right?
Yeah.
That's something that's going to dog his reign, as well it should. It's something they're going to have to live up to.
Yeah, no question. We're already hearing a lot of that, a lot of discussion. In terms of what we see, you know, when we see a transition from one head of state to another, it's hard to put into perspective because it's been 70 years. Does anything change with the relationship in Canada with Charles, do you think, or is it sort of what we've always seen?
No, I don't think so. You know, in the UK, they have a very elaborate set of customs that they're going to execute at this time. You already mentioned that today he made William, Prince of Wales, who is indeed his successor. So there's a whole elaborate system of things there. Here in the other Commonwealth realms and places like Canada, that's largely up to the Prime Minister's office, how we're going to do things. There'll be probably a national period of mourning. Parliament will probably convene to recognize that Charles is our king, just formally. He already is our king constitutionally, but they'll recognize formally that he is. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of his earliest state visits was to Canada, because we remain, after Britain, the largest Commonwealth realm.
Exactly. Yeah. And as the Queen said, it was her second home, so would stand to reason. Dr. Broad, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That is Dr. Graham Broad, who is an associate professor and chair in the Department of History at King's University College.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.